Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What was that? Was it just the snap of a branch? The falling of some leaves? Maybe a squirrel running around the branches? Or was it something more nefarious stalking you through the woods? Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. I'm glad to see you made it back for another episode. Today's episode's a little different from my normal series. These aren't necessarily just park ranger stories. They're more broad, forest ranger stories. I'm sure many of you might know that there isn't just one type of park ranger. There are many types of them. And these stories come from the various types of park rangers out there. So, sit back, relax, and get ready for some spooks from the woods. If you're a park ranger, forest ranger, or maybe something completely different, and you want to share your story on the show, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, let's get into these creepy stories that'll keep you out of the forest. I worked for the United States Forest Service in Texas for about 10 years. I love my job, and it's rare for anything particularly creepy or scary to occur. But having worked this job for so long, I have had my fair share of stories I can share that might just make the hairs on the back of your neck stand on end. For example, we sometimes get jaguars hunting in the forest here, a particularly scary big cat, and that's because of what they do with their prey once they caught and subdue it. So just picture the scene. You're walking through the trees on some bright, sunny day, when all of a sudden you start to smell something rotten. You look around, but there's absolutely nothing to be seen, just the picturesque view of the pines, and the sound of birdsong floating through the green. Then, something hits the top of your head. Something wet. You place a hand on top of your head, feeling something cold and slimy dribbling through your hair. You bring your hand down to see what it is, hoping it's not bird poop. Only, it's something much, much worse. It's blood. You look up, and hanging in a tree just feet above your head is a mutilated, half-eaten corpse of an animal. Guts torn out, skin shredded, face half-eaten with hooves or paws missing, with broken pieces of bone protruding from the cracked limbs. It seems like an utterly bizarre thing to do. But the jaguar has a good reason for doing all the heavy lifting. If a jaguar does not bother to hoist its kill into the tree, it risks losing its meal to another more ground-based predator or scavenger. Creepy, yeah, but that kind of natural world stuff is nothing compared to some of the other stuff I've encountered during my time in the Forest Service. So this other time, I'm on a routine walk through some of the trails to make sure all the directional signs and information markers for tourists are all in order. There's a large rock protrusion about 100 meters off of this trail. Like this big sandstone boulder that just juts out of the earth and makes it look kind of like a shallow cave carved out of one side that had been worn away from thousands of years of wind erosion. As I get close, I see a guy in what I first thought was camouflage hunting gear hanging around the entrance. I call out to him, just some friendly greeting, nothing threatening, and he turns to look at me. Only, he doesn't utter a word. He just seemingly runs off through the trees. I start getting worried about what he was doing in the cave. Terrified he's left a body or something there. And honestly, I thank God that he hadn't. But it seems like he did leave something behind. I mean, I'm not even 100% sure it was him that did this, and I've often considered that possibility that it was him that happened to come across it first, and seeing me got the idea in his head that he thought maybe it was me that left that thing there. He got that idea into his head, saw me, and just freaked out and ran. But when I walked into that little cave and shined my flashlight around, I saw something that would completely explain why he was so quick to run away. Whatever his motivations were for doing so. Teeth. There was a little circular patch of dirt, one that looked like it had been raked over to clear some space, and in the middle of it all were a bunch of human teeth. I don't know why they were there. I don't know who left them, or why, but I did what I could. I gathered them up into a plastic bag I had on me, and it previously had my lunch in it, so don't think I just carry plastic bags, I'm not that weird. I took them down to the nearest police station, giving a little description of that guy that I had seen run from the cave. I've got the usual wild animal encounters, weird noises during the night, etc. But I've never forgotten about those teeth. I have no explanation to offer up at all, but it certainly does make for a good little campfire story. Everyone I know calls me Big Jim, so feel free to identify me in that manner. I work in Alabama, and I've been with the Park Rangers for almost 2 decades. My story involves what I believe to be a Bigfoot. I spend a great deal of my time simply wandering the majestic beauty of our parks. I am often on my feet, and while I do other things like help local wildlife and repair things, etc., most of my time is spent simply monitoring and surveying the land. During these beautiful walks in nature, I have a lot of time to think to myself. While working one April afternoon a few years back, I saw something hiding out in the trees. I initially thought it was an animal of some kind, but shortly after, I heard a loud sound. I guess you could call me a Bigfoot enthusiast in my free time, having sworn I saw these things multiple times in my life now. So, when I heard the familiar call, I believed right then and there I'd had another Bigfoot sighting. I took my time and very carefully moved closer, but as I got closer, I stepped on a branch, and at the sound of the snapping, the Bigfoot dashed out of sight. Now, this isn't the only sighting I've had. I was working a few years after this when I heard several big feet out in the wilderness. I know how that sounds, but I just wanted you all to know, they're definitely out there. Also, I don't know if big feet is the right plural for Bigfoot, but, you know. I was patrolling the area, and I heard a couple talking to one another, if that makes any sense. It is the same exact calling they are known to emit. We've had several locals in the area who have also spotted these things. I actually wish I could explain away any of this with some amazing thing, but I'm not much of a tall tale teller, and it has become so normal to me. I have such a strong belief in Bigfoot that it just seems natural and not some extravagant thing. The most interesting sighting I think I've ever had was while working in October of 1998 or maybe even 1999. I'm not entirely sure which year. My memory isn't what it once was. I was actually with one of my trainees when we heard something walking in the distance. I didn't think much of it and actually made a joke saying, "Uh-oh, watch out, Bigfoot." A few moments after saying this, I heard that calling again. I remember laughing and saying it really was a Bigfoot. At first, the rookie laughed as well, but sure enough, a few moments later, there it was standing only a few feet away from a clearing. Now, keep in mind, this was before camera phones existed, and I didn't even have a camera on me. I remember having a big old smile on my face as I watched this thing. Shortly after all of this happened, it just turned around, called out one more time, to which we heard another one in the distance, and it waltzed off. So, if you're ever in Alabama, keep an eye out and maybe you'll spot a Bigfoot. If you live there, There's definitely a strong chance for sure that you've already seen one. In 2016, my husband and I went camping in eastern Pennsylvania. The place we decided to stop for the night was a primitive campsite. Camping was free, with no cell service, barely a road, etc. We did encounter two other people. Now, before I go any further, my husband was a forest ranger at the time, so we were not newcomers to the woods by any means. Anyway, these people we met might not factor into what happened later, at all, but they were creepy, so I'll describe them. The first was a woman who had her truck off to the side of the road, just a little bit as we drove past. She had the hood open and seemed to be waiting for someone to stop and offer help. Usually my boyfriend had no problem helping someone, but he said this time something was putting him off about her. She didn't really seem like she needed help, and usually people who needed help would look at you hopefully as you approach. She looked like she just expected we would stop. That's what my boyfriend said anyway. I hadn't really noticed anything strange about her. The next person came when we had chosen a spot and were setting up a fire for hot dogs. I had noticed people drive by a few times, but my boyfriend pointed out each time it was the same car, and the man in the car watched us each time as he passed. My boyfriend was a little uneasy about this, but we had driven around for a while before finding a place we liked. It had been raining, and everything was muddy, and we wanted the driest site possible. He could have been doing the same thing, I guess. We briefly thought about moving out, but the road was too muddy. If he wanted to find us, all he had to do was follow our tracks, realistically. There were some other tracks, but not too many, you know? He'd only have to backtrack a little to locate us again. He didn't come by another time, so we stayed and spent several remaining hours before getting dark, goofing off. No one else drove by, at least that we noticed anyway. Whether or not those two had anything else to do with our experience is really to be seen. The real fear came later. We had gone to sleep in our tent sometime around 3 a.m. We were woken up by this very loud noise. I can't describe it very well, or even remember exactly what it sounded like, but my boyfriend said it reminded him of a chain gun revving up. It was also similar to how it would sound if someone recorded a shovel being dragged over gravel and played it over a loudspeaker. That's another way he described it. He jumped up and looked out the window, but couldn't really see a thing. The sound repeated itself a few more times. I was so scared, I couldn't even speak, so my boyfriend whispered that it was probably miles off and I should go back to sleep. I didn't question this, as I figured loud sounds could easily be heard miles off. After we left, he told me it sounded like it had actually been coming just down the road, but he didn't want to freak me out. Looking back, I probably should have wondered why he would have bothered to even whisper if he apparently thought the sound was far off. I was still terrified, though. Every little thing I heard outside sounded like someone was walking around the tent. We laid there for a while longer when finally my boyfriend told me to get dressed because we were leaving. I got alarmed by this, and even more alarmed when he unwrapped the machete he had brought with us. We quickly packed up the car. I looked around for footprints that weren't our own, but despite the moon providing plenty of light, I couldn't really see. I did point out something my boyfriend hadn't noticed though before we got into the car. There was a beer can by our dead fire that hadn't been there before. We didn't even bring beer. While we were driving away, my boyfriend explained that he was nervous someone might have been trying to lure us out, so he didn't think it was a good idea to run from the tent right away. He also half expected to find our gas tank had been siphoned out, but that wouldn't have stopped us being we had a hybrid car. We joked that would make a hybrid car commercial very funny. A number of brutal murders avoided by driving a hybrid. We only joked because we were about to poop ourselves from fear and adrenaline. For the rest of our trip, we only stayed in well-populated campsites, or got a hotel. Out in the parks of Montana, we've had a few people go missing in the time that I have been working with the Rangers. My name is Nate, and I'm going to tell you about these mysterious disappearances. I don't have any way of knowing why or how they are missing. I can only say they are missing, and it is rather strange due to circumstances. I'm going to keep this somewhat short, but these people all seem to go missing from the same area of our park. We aren't sure if they are being snatched up and sold into trafficking, as there are definitely some bad dealings that happen in this area, or if they are simply running away. In fact, we've never figured out anything in relation to these cases, as there seems to be nothing to go on. The earliest one I can remember was a 7-year-old girl who went with her family into the park, and never came out again. I remember the girl simply because she was a child, and as a dad myself, this makes things hit different. Police and our park ranger services certainly looked for this family, but it was as though they went into the woods and then simply disappeared. The second disappearance was a college-aged couple. Just like the family a few years before them, they went into the woods and never came out again. There are a few people who claim they believe there's a cult operating out in the area, but we've never seen anything like that would verify the theory. I know stranger things happen, but it is a bit unnerving to think that people could just disappear like that. I often find myself pondering what happens to people who go missing, not just in our area, but in general. The third disappearance happened late at night in 2010, I do believe, if my memory serves me correctly. It was a rather fit man in his 40s who went into the woods and didn't come out again. Now, some witnesses in the area at the time did say they heard someone shouting for help, and they went into the woods toward the sound of the voice, but eventually, the voice faded out, and they never found anyone. They were the people who reported the man missing before his family came forward. The final disappearance, and probably the most disturbing one yet, involved a woman in her 30s who went out late one night, and much like the man who previously disappeared, she was heard screaming. Another man went into the woods and said he felt shaken and uncomfortable, and it was shortly after he found a flashlight that was later identified as having belonged to the missing woman. I believe something very dark is happening out there. The problem is, though, where is any real evidence of what happened to the missing? I've debated going into the woods on my off time and looking over the area at night myself, but I've never worked up the nerve. It is pitch black out there and absolutely terrifying. I know this story isn't super disturbing, as we have no way to know exactly what happened to these missing individuals, but it is something I wanted to share, if for no other reason than as a warning to always be careful, even in state parks, if traveling off the beaten path. My cousin is with the Forest Service in the Montana, Wyoming area, and I decided to go up there with her to pretty much test the waters. She does hydrology and has to ride out in the middle of nowhere to test streams and snow runoff to ensure no contaminants are there. So I thought that sounded like a bit of fun and wanted to do a bit of a tour with her. We were going to go camp out there for 2 nights, so we packed up all of our gear in saddlebags or saddle bundles and started out. The first day and night was amazing. Beautiful scenery and amazing air quality. It really is so peaceful out there. I love that this area is just so serene, and I wish I got to go up there more often. Anyway, we started out on the second day, and my cousin said, "You want to see something weird?" Of course I said yes, so she led me on a bit of a side journey into this tiny little ravine. We ended up traveling about 2 hours from the actual path we had laid out. At the very end of this fold in the land, she dismounts and tells me to get off my horse. We tie them up in this gorgeous little clearing, and she tells me to follow this tiny wildlife path and bring our little rechargeable radio. It is one of those you can plug in and wind up. And it also acts as a lantern if you really need it to, but that kills the batteries fairly quickly. I bring it, and out in the middle of freaking nowhere, there is a huge coil of wire sticking out of the ground. the wire itself was not weirdly large, like some buried transmission wire, but small, like 10 or 12 gauge wiring for a house. It trailed off into the brush and trees, so naturally, I decided to follow the thing out of curiosity. My cousin trails behind me as I do, and this wire, after coming straight up from the ground, is strung across limbs of trees, then back to the ground. Then it snakes around rocks and finally dead ends into an outlet. The outlet is mounted into the side of a desk. It looks like a schoolteacher's desk from when I was growing up, with a metal base and a pseudo-wood plastic top thing. There's no chair, no building, no nothing. Just this outlet and this desk. I am staring confused as hell at this desk in the middle of a forest when my cousin takes the radio, pulls the cord, and plugs it into the outlet. That thing lit up and started blaring static. The wire was being fed from somewhere. Now, the place where we have had no road access, no buildings for miles, and no other people around it, somehow had a live outlet. It may not be the scariest thing I've ever heard, or maybe you've ever shared, but it was weird as hell. I wasn't a forest ranger at the time, but I would become one. I used to be in a group that's somewhat like the scouts, so we spent a lot of time in the woods and some weird stuff would happen, but most of the time, it was pretty easy to explain. One thing happened though, that to this day scares the living crap out of me. I was the leader for the age group of 8 to 10 year olds, and we were out on a camping trip. It was the first year we stayed on the terrain, and it was huge. Normally we tend to explore the majority of terrain before the kids arrive, so we were aware of any possible dangerous spots to avoid. This time though, it was impossible. Every camp we have what we call a night game. It's usually a scary game in which the kids have to complete several tasks while the leaders scare the ever-loving crap out of them. Obviously, we had one during this camp. We masked up as monsters and hid out in the woods close to the checkpoint they had to pass. While running in between checkpoints, I found an open stretch of forest with little to no foliage, so it was ideal for chasing them. There was no real room to hide besides trees, so I couldn't use my flashlight or they'd be able to see me from miles away. It was dark, like the unsettling kind of dark that plays tricks on your eyes, and you start imagining things that aren't real. During my stay there, I saw a shadow that was around my size running past me quite a few times. I couldn't see it all that well, so I just assumed it was probably my imagination. Eventually, I turned on my flashlight and I just had to make sure there was nothing there. I didn't see anything. The game was nearing its end, and I saw the shadow again. This time I could see it vaguely standing near a tree not too far away from me. I thought it was one of the other leaders hiding there to scare kids, and decided to go over there, as it was about time to go back. I aimed my flashlight towards the tree. While getting closer, I noticed that there was indeed someone standing there, dressed in what looked like a torn burlap sack, and had their head covered with a few white plastic bags that looked like they were tied together. I started to feel pure dread. Something felt incredibly off about this person. I asked if everything was okay, but they would not respond. The only thing I heard was this weird sound that sounded like someone knocking on wood. Nevertheless, I went a bit closer until I was about 10 meters away from this person. The knocking sound turned out to be that person smacking his head repeatedly into the tree, and I noticed that this person looked to be a male. He was barefoot, and his arms and legs were covered with crusted mud. His hands were in a weird, cramped position. I was convinced this was just one of the other leaders pulling a prank, so I told them to knock it off, you're freaking me out. He slowly turned his head and started walking towards me. Something inside me told me to run. It didn't matter if I was, you know, just being pranked. I ran away scared, as fast as I could, running for my life. If this wasn't a prank, it felt like I was in serious danger, so I ran as fast as I could. I heard him running after me, but I didn't want to turn around to look as I'd probably run into a tree or something. I arrived back at the campsite and every single person that could be dressed like that was already there. They couldn't have gotten there before me, and if they did, they sure as hell didn't have the time to change into their regular clothes. Still, I told them that they gave me a good scare with that. They all just looked at me weird, thinking I was trying to scare them, and we left it at that. The next day, I wanted to go check it out. Who knows, maybe some weirdo ate the wrong mushroom and might have been out there dying from hypothermia. I took someone else with me in case there was nothing but endless trees. We arrived at the tree where I saw the person banging his head. There was a dead, skinned, decomposing rabbit nailed to the tree. We called the cops. They looked around quickly and brushed it off as just a prank from another scouting group or some kids from the nearby town, and left it at that. We didn't notice anything weird after that, so it probably was a prank. But seriously, some people have a really messed up sense of humor. I was the lone forest recreation ranger in a smaller district in southern Idaho. The nearest town from the guard station was probably about a half an hour away by car. After moving into the guard station, solar power was not working that day for some reason. I hadn't slept for about a month due to various factors. Bats in the cabin, something walking on the deck at night, the woods were always eerie feeling, unlike the southwest ponderosa forest that I was used to. About 2 months into the seasonal job, I started to hear something walking and scratching on the deck at night, perhaps even on the door itself. Now, this district was known for its badgers and beavers, so at first I really didn't think too much of it. When leaving the cabin at night, I always had an eerie feeling, like I was being watched. One night, I was returning from my grocery run. I always went on Tuesday nights, and I had a bad feeling in my gut. Now, at the time, I did not have my shotgun in the vehicle, which I would later come to regret. After stepping out of the vehicle, I looked to the right of the cabin. About 50 feet from my front door, all I could see were two eyes about 3.5 to 4 feet in the air. To say I freaked out was honestly an understatement. I started yelling, "Get the heck out of here!" But the eyes only crouched down an inch closer to me. At this point, I could tell it was a large animal of some kind, and definitely not a coyote. I tossed a piece of firewood in the general direction, and the creature leaped back a bit, but did not make a sound. I tossed 4 or 5 more pieces, and the creature still inched forward. At this point, I fumbled with the keys, and of course, the freaking solar power was out again. I managed to get inside and grab my shotgun. Technically, you are not supposed to have guns in government housing. But who the freak lives where the hills have eyes are, backcountry, and does not carry? I went outside. The creature was a bit closer now. I still could not get a good look with my crappy headlamp. I loaded my shotgun and continued to throw pieces of wood with one hand. Finally, the creature walked back into the brush. That night I drank about 4 IPAs and slept with my shotgun in my hand. In the morning, the trail crew came up, and we found mountain lion tracks all over the porch, rocking bench, and compound leading back to the creek. After that event, I always heard the rocking chair move and someone or something walking on the porch, but never found any tracks after that point. Considering that it was always muddy up there, and it was weird not to find any tracks, I've been stalked by mountain lions before, and never had that eerie feeling like I did in those woods. This happened about 3 months ago. Me and my family went up to visit Fort Necessity. I get that this story isn't probably the scariest thing you've ever read, but it freaked me out in the moment. So let's begin. We pulled into the parking lot, then we got out. My mom and I went up to the visitor center. It was closed at the time. So I looked in through the windows. My mom and my brother, I think, did the same thing. Then, out of seemingly nowhere, this guy appeared. He opened up the door. We stepped back. "Sorry, we're closed, but we're going to be opening Friday," he said. Then he gave us maps. I think he was a park ranger. At first, I thought he was a security guard, because he had on a gray-like police shirt. My dad was a jail guard, and it looked a lot like his uniform. He had light brown pants on, and a brown ranger hat on. He pointed us where the fort was. My mom said thank you and off we went. After we looked at it, we went back up towards the visitor center. There was the ranger walking down the trail. We were close to the top of the trail. "Hey guys," he said. He asked if we had any questions. We all said no, and then started talking about different areas and something about a turnpike. Then he asked a question. I don't remember what it was about, but I answered it right. He was so happy. Then he started looking up and down my body. He eyed me up and down. Then he told us about Washington Tavern. He told us we could walk up the trail there. Of course, we started walking up a different trail. The ranger went walking down towards the fort. We didn't walk that far before we could see the fort. It was like 70 feet away. I looked at it. There was the ranger. He was standing on top of the house inside the fort, or whatever it was. He waved at us. I turned my head away. When I looked back, he was gone. I didn't really say anything or think much of it. This was the part that really freaked me out. Then we came to a trail that led up a rough hill, but it wasn't like much of a hike, really. When we came to the Washington Tavern, my uncle and my parents were there talking and reading about it. I went up to a window and I looked inside of it. There was a table, and guess what I saw? The ranger was inside of there, and he had a creepy smile. I ran back to my parents. Then I went back up to the window. He wasn't there anymore. We started walking back down the trail. We got down towards the trail, and there he was again. He started talking about a junior ranger's program. He looked at me and my younger brother when he talked about it, and then he told us about this picnic area not far from here. He told us the directions. As we walked away, I saw him staring at my butt. We got to the visitor center. The ranger was there, and he pointed us to the road we should take. I started saying how weird it was that this guy was everywhere. I started making fun of him. I swear to God, he turned his head like he could hear everything. But we were near the car, so how would he be able to hear me? We, of course, drove up to the picnic area. My mom pointed out signs warning us about bears. We were walking towards the edge of the forest, and my uncle heard something. It was a growl. Oh man, it might be a bear. My uncle stared into the woods. Then he picked me up, and he started running. I looked behind him. There was a bear, and this bear was huge. I think it might have even been running after us. Luckily, we weren't far from the car. We all got in and drove down the road. When we drove past the visitor center, everyone was talking about how we just saw a bear. I turned and looked out my window, and I saw the ranger standing outside the visitor center. It looked like he was covered in blood, and he had claw marks on his arm. It looked like it was from a bear. He waved at me and held up a sign, and he read, "Never talk bad about the dead again." I just waved back, and a few days after that, I researched the area, and it said a ranger had died by saving a child from a bear, and that was about 7 years ago. To this day, I don't know what to think. I'm very sorry for making fun of a man who died saving somebody's life. Maybe he just wanted to save mine.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true Forest Ranger stories. As I said in the intro of this video, I normally only cover park rangers from specific parks. You know, just the typical state park and park ranger kind of vibe. But I get such stories from people all the time about other forest rangers, about different types of jobs that park rangers have, and the various different little niches that there are in this kind of service. So I hope you enjoyed these stories. I would love to know which one was your favorite down in the comments below. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it does help me out quite a bit. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're out and about and you can't turn on YouTube,
You can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go. You can download them on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and pretty much everywhere else you listen to podcasts online. I, of course, wanted to thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp. The Swamp has been growing fairly great recently, and I can't thank anybody but you guys. So, thank you so much. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.